All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. We have another NFL weekend in the books, and the Colts make it hard on themselves once again, but ultimately get the win. And of course, as we know, it's a game of winning and losing, not a game of close or almost. So the win puts the Colts at 10-4, solidly in the number 3 seed for the playoffs. They'll have to play the first weekend in all likelihood, but have that third seed and make it to push off the New England Patriots as long as possible if everything holds. They do have to go to Dallas this weekend, but we'll talk about their victory over the Houston Texans in a little while. Of course, we've got Monday Night Football coming up. The broadcast will take over about 7:45 for pregame of the Saints and Bears, so don't go anywhere. We'll be with you until then. But starting off tonight's show, we'll go indoors onto the hardwood and talk about Tom Crean's Indiana Hoosiers, who are currently 8-2 with victory this weekend over Grand Canyon, and Coach Dan Marley, but two losses so far on the season, of course, in Madison Square Garden last Tuesday night to the number 4 ranked Louisville Cardinals, and then back at the end of November here in Bloomington, lost by 2 to Eastern Washington. So tonight we'll take stock after 10 games of just where the Hoosiers are right now, what we think they are, and what we think they maybe can become as they head into this off week and go up to Indianapolis to play Butler next week. Butler, number 23 ranked at this point after losing at Tennessee, but has played some decent opponents, has beaten Georgetown.
Butler's 8-2 is a little different than our 8-2.
It's quite a bit, because it does include losses to Tennessee and Oklahoma, but wins over Georgetown, Northwestern, and the big one, of course, over North Carolina down in somewhere in the Caribbean.
The Bahamas.
But this is a team, Butler, that was way down last year, and oddly compared to, of course, how they've been over the last, decade, 15 years or so, moving their way into the Big East and having a ton of injuries and some coaching turnover. But they certainly look like, now that they're back to getting healthy, that they are back to what we're used to seeing out of Butler. They're not a huge team, but they are a team that hits the boards awfully hard. They play defense, and they play defense awfully well. If you shoot it well, it looks like you maybe can get some things on them. But they do the right things on the defensive side of the ball, and they make it hard on you. And in this day and age in college basketball, I think we see a lot of teams that do that have a lot of success right now.
Yep, they play half-court game. They slow you down. They get you uncomfortable, and you have to adjust to them or get them out of their comfort zone, like Tennessee did, and make a bunch of shots. Well, that's different. Then you speed up Butler and get them playing at a different direction. But they've, again, their first three games of the year were in the Bahamas. They've played Northwestern on their home court. Then they went to Tennessee, so that's not a schedule that is weak or meek. That's some tough ones there. So Butler has the seasonedness here early. But again, when you get together and throw them out, Dave, Indiana was number 1 in the country. They played Butler, 3 years ago? And Butler's entire first team fouled out, and the Butler's second team, a bunch of walk-ons, everybody else beat Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo and Jordan Hall's Christian Watford. Mm-hmm. The 8, 9, and 10 guys on Butler beat the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on Indiana. So the styles don't match up very well, but we'll do more on Butler as the week continues, obviously. But the Hoosiers, again, you schedule people like Grand Canyon, you're going to get stuff like you get from Grand Canyon. You want to wave the flag about how 4 turnovers is the least you've ever had in the era or in some time. You should, because Grand Canyon stood around with their thumb in their rear end and playing defense. You shouldn't have given the ball away. They didn't do anything to force you to give the ball away. Right. They stood there and took it. You might as well have walked up and given them the big Adam Sandler Price is Right check at halftime and said, here, thanks for coming. Can you please try in the second half here? We're not going to give you this check unless you try. Again, that game's a scheduled exhibition. How does that get your team any better? I'm not sure. I've got questions more than answers. It's great that Hannah Perea and Troy Williams combined for 25 points and however many rebounds they had and however many turnovers they had. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now do it for 5 games in a row.
Right.
So don't tell me about how Grand Canyon's
better
this
competition.
Or Grand Canyon's that. Do it for 5 games in a row. Do it against – take. When you take a knife to a gunfight, you're not going to win. The guy with the gun's going to win. So do it against better competition. Show me 25-10 on the road opening night in Nebraska against a team that's pretty good at home. It's pretty good in the league. Do that. Let's not get worried about what happened against Grand Canyon, guys. It doesn't make sense. Here's the one thing that doesn't make any sense either. How many minutes did Jeremiah April play against Louisville?
None.
No, he did. He played in the game.
Did he?
Yeah, he played three or four. My point is he played none against Grand Canyon. So he can't get in a game when it's a 40-point game. So don't tell me about it. I want to hear about Jeremiah April anymore for the rest of the year. Stop it. Stop. Don't talk about him. Unless he's hurt. Anybody ask afterwards if he's hurt or not?
All right, so let's look at how Jeremiah April is
progressing
this season.
Exactly right. You wanted to look at, after 10 games, what's going on. How do you put a guy in who didn't play, who had an ankle problem for 4 months? He finally started getting some action. He plays against Louisville with big, fast guys, right? And then it's a 40-point blowout game for the entire second half.
We're not really talking about Jeremiah April in the first segment of the show, are we?
We can, but the point of the matter is Indiana – constantly inconsistent. So if you got it figured out, 333-2665, let us know exactly what's happening, because I don't.
No, Grand Canyon certainly isn't the competition you want to judge yourself against at this point in time. But what we've seen with this team is a team that can shoot the ball. We expected that, and we have seen that. We've got four people who are shooting over 40% from three-pointers. They are not shy about shooting them. I'd argue the four turnovers this weekend may have been higher if we didn't take the first shot we saw from 22 feet. I'm not saying it's a bad thing necessarily, but it won't be a great thing against Butler this weekend.
Bad habits, Dave. It's the habits you're trying to get into. And when you play against competition like this, you get into bad habits because you know you're going to beat them. You don't block out. You see guys in there. Again, you want to point to the rebound numbers and tell me how the rebound numbers are much better than they were against Louisville. They have to be. You don't have a choice. But did you see fundamentally better defense? Did you see fundamentally better rebounding? Or was Indiana just better athletes than Grand Canyon?
Well, I rebounding-wise, maybe a little bit. But
sure, that's the point.
Yeah,
that's the point.
That's all just a
and
little
if you're
bit
not going to take it out against Grand Canyon, I don't know when you're going to take it out. You got Georgetown. You better take it out. And Butler, you better figure out if you're in position against those guys. So the interesting thing about Indiana is, here they go again. Here's what we know about Indiana. These are two facts. They score a ton. They shoot it pretty well. They give up a ton, and they give up some pretty good shooting percentages. That's what Indiana is. So that's if you're going to be in that game, that forces so much pressure on your offense to make baskets because your defense doesn't get very many stops. That's where Indiana is right now. They are a wonderful lab. They are a petri dish right now. Who knows what's going to happen when you throw in a little good competition? We know what happens when you throw in bad competition, that's for sure.
They're not a good rebounding team at this point. Your leading rebounders are tied James Blackman, the 6'4 guard, the freshman guard, and Troy Williams, who has certainly been better than he started. But as you mentioned, 8 rebounds against Grand Canyon. Bump that up a little bit, I'd argue. Maybe that's the same way for James in some of these games also. But as Coach Kareen has said, this whole team needs to improve its rebounding if it wants to be in these games. Butler, looking forward, is a team that hits the boards awfully hard. Just destroyed UNC on
29
the boards.
Offensive rebound.
And that's coming off a game when Louisville just absolutely destroyed him on the offensive boards. Well, 16 on the offensive boards for Louisville. But, look, it's an obvious area that has to improve for this team. It does not have to dominate rebounding. It's not going to dominate rebounding, but it's got to be better than it has been when you get to the Big Ten. The Big Ten is not huge this year inside, but it's got its teams, and it certainly has its defensive teams. You've got to be better inside. And defensively, I mean, we could talk defense all night. Maybe we'll do that when we get back from the break. But, rebounding at this point in time, is it want? Is it something you can teach? I mean, that's the question to me because, I don't know that that after 10 games, I'm talking about this being improved in any way, shape, or form. It's not right now. At least I don't feel like it. Maybe it will be in the next few games, but, it's going to have to be starting Saturday. I don't think there's any question. You can't go get dominated by Butler and stick around in that game unless you're hitting everything from outside.
52 rebounds against Grand Canyon. You know why you had 52 rebounds?
Because you're better than them.
Well, because they didn't make any shots. That's another thing when you're up 50 points.
Counting the numbers necessarily.
No, I wouldn't either. And again, that's not the
still
game.
Still gave up 11 offensive rebounds at Grand Canyon.
And you talked about the defense. Here's a great point. Indiana had 4 turnovers in the game. How many Grand Canyon have with depressing, good perimeter defense and tight post defense that we've been working on? 6. They were +2 in the turnover department, and they had 4 turnovers. A program low under Tom Crean, and you are +2. Those are facts. Do what you want with them. They're facts.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. We're starting the show tonight with IU basketball. We got 10 games in, 8-2. Where are they right now? What's it look like going forward? Of course, the Grand Canyon game is not the game to take the most stock in, but around a third of the way through the season, get your thoughts and feelings about where this team is. It heads into a very tough game up in Indianapolis against Butler. A couple years ago, of course, lost a tight one in overtime to Butler with a much, I suppose, more talented and veteran Indiana team at that time. You're talking about the Cody Zeller, Jordan Hulls, Victor Oladipo, Christian Watford. That team couldn't beat Butler. This is a Butler team that's much better than it was last year. They're healthy, and that was a big issue last year. They had coaching issues in the last couple years that have not helped the equation, but they're doing pretty well right now. But where are the Hoosiers right now? Again, they are a shooting team, perhaps too much of a shooting team. So I ask this because, again, in perhaps their two best wins of the season, if you know, look at Pitt, look at SMU, those are the two best opponents they've beaten at this point. What they were able to do offensively is dictate tempo, dictate the pace of the game. They kind of got outpaced against a better Louisville team. But can this team shoot the way it did the other night against Grand Canyon, throwing it up as quickly as they did when it gets to the Big Ten and beat people? Because at the very least, they're still shooting decently, shooting well, I should say. Right now, it's 51%, 42% for three-pointers. Less than half of their shots are three-pointers. So they're not, you know, it's not overly dominant on three-pointers, but they shoot them well. So can they run down the floor and within 5 seconds throw up a shot on a regular basis and win in the Big Ten?
As long as they go in. Here's the thing that bothers
Will
you.
They?
For the second game in a row, whether you like it or not, and these are numbers, you can fight with the numbers. You want to fight with us, call 333-2665. That's fine. 1-10 in the second half for three against Louisville, 3-10 against Grand Canyon. So whatever it is in the second half, it ain't getting any better. It was 7-10 against Louisville in the first half and 7-20 against Grand Canyon in the first half. So as games wear on, as is this team getting stronger from that? Is that their calling card, or do they set you up with a three-pointer and then try to take advantage in the second half? Here's the thing. You have to have balance. How many one-dimensional teams in any sport do you know that say, well, geez, that's what we are. They have to stop us. No, unless you are the oracle of that sport, unless you've created that. If you are the Chip Kelly at Oregon or whatever you want to put, whatever that is, you're not going to change your style to play anybody if you continually win. If you're not continually winning, well, you got to do some things differently. So if Indiana goes out and makes a bunch of jump shots, Dave, yeah, that's great. Why would they stop wanting to do that? Does Indiana take bad shots? All teams take bad shots, yes. But their philosophy is, it seems like, if you're open and you're a guy that we have confidence in shooting the basketball, you better shoot it. And right now, that's how they're playing. They have to do that. What are you going to do? Make four passes, run some motion, and then look into the post?
No.
Who are you going to look to?
No, I wouldn't.
So that's the point. The point is, it's an opportunist style offense. If you move the ball and if you dribble, drive, and penetrate, you should have shooters spotting up in the corners, shooters spotting up across the floor. You should have guys rolling to the basket, as we've seen Hannah Perea and Troy Williams get a lot of easy dunks doing. That's the offense. And if it comes quickly, well, those are things. They're all great shots until they don't go in. Right? Don't shoot that. Don't shoot that. Hey, made it. All right. Great. Indiana's philosophy looks like to me, and unless I'm missing the complete boat here, which I don't think I am, is the first good shot they see, they are taking it. They are not trying to work the ball deep into the shot clock to get easy baskets. They're taking the first thing they look at. That's how they apply pressure. They don't apply pressure on the defensive end. They don't apply pressure on the defensive glass. They don't apply any pressure besides putting it on you on the scoreboard. That's what I've seen from the first 10 games.
Well, I think that's about right. Again, they're trying to dictate pace, as you
their
said,
pressure,
with their offense.
Exactly. It's not a possession-oriented. They want the most possessions as possible. That's why they'll trade some of these turnovers. Get up and down the court, speed you up, but they're not forcing any turnovers. That's the other issue. Your question is valid. What do you do when you get in a game, when you play a team like Butler, who is just going to – they're not going to get into that. They're not going to get up and down the court with you. That's not how they play. They're going to work the ball. They're going to try try to get you off the glass and do all that. So it'll be interesting to see how this all matches itself up. But I don't think Indiana can change its stripes for one game against a Wisconsin, against a Butler. They'd love to play Michigan every day of the week.
Well, I'd argue that what we saw on Saturday night was perhaps the fastest we've seen them play also. And given the competition, I think you can understand that. They were not that fast. They were trying to be that fast against Louisville, I think, but not that fast so much against SMU and Pitt and some of their other opponents.
Hey, it's always nice to go out and rack up 94 points. Whose confidence does that hurt, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the question, of course, is how do you do that? And Butler is going to want to make it a long game. And if you get a good shot against Butler, I'd say you take it anyways because they're not going to give you lots of great shots.
And what Butler does is they rebound well. They've got big guys inside. They might not be the best offensive players inside, mm-hmm. but you know what? They help well. They rotate well. They're in the right spots. They get their hands in passing lanes. They take charges. They play really good fundamental defense. So, yeah, I think you continue to play to your strength. And if your strength that day, and most days you play is shooting the basketball, and you hit a 1-for-20 skid or a 1-for-15 skid, we've asked since the day one of the season began, what's plan B with this team? Well, plan B would be getting to the free throw line. They only shot 66% against Grand Canyon in their latest attempt. How many free throws did they get against Louisville? 12? 13?
Not even that many. 5.
So, again, what was plan B? Chuck it and chase it. Okay. Well, you got to have someone to chase it. You got to have someone to grab it. It's a lot easier to score from the foul line when no one's guarding you than it is from 20 feet.
I lied. That was a first half number, 14.
I didn't think it was much 14. More than that. There you go. So, again, 8-14 last game and then 18-27. So it's not – okay, that's not making them all. But, again, you need to have another plan when the jump shot's not falling. You do have guys that are quick enough to beat guys off the dribble. Mm-hmm. I can go through them all. Williams, Blackman, Johnson, Farrell, Stan Robinson, those are guys that can get to the foul line. They have to want to get to the foul line. You can't just make them do
3-3-3-2-6-6-5 is a phone number. I have a hard time saying this team is not playing good offense. I think it's playing very good offense.
It
shoots too quickly on some possessions. I don't think there's any question about that. It has had games where it has turned it over at far too high a number. You can understand that against a Louisville who is trying to make you do that anyways.
But you can't have
19 and be successful very often. Certainly.
If you shoot as many shots as they do and you grab 21 offensive rebounds, well, they were plus 10 in the offensive rebound department, plus 17 in the total rebound department. So that's how many extra chances to shoot it fast. Mm-hmm. So if you do that, that's great. But it goes back to total rebounding. The offensive rebounding numbers, the defensive rebounding numbers, you have to know your opponent. And when Indiana shoots it, well, if they go out, give me the numbers again. Were they from 3? 40%? 42%?
42% as a team.
And if they shoot 51% from the field, they're going to win most of their games.
They have 5 players shooting 40% or better with 18 or more attempts. The only one with anywhere near that attempts, Max Hotzel's 33%. He's 5 of 15. Colin Hartman's 9 of 18. 4 other players have 30 attempts or more, and all of them are shooting better than 40%.
There you go. So it tells you can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, I mean, you can.
You're going to have to do that. That is the pressure. That's where Indiana's pressure comes from. That's how they make other teams feel uncomfortable is their rate of scoring.
Would you rather this team rebound it twice as well and not shoot it quite as well?
In a perfect world, no. I think college basketball is a scoring game, and you got to have guys that can score. How many Final Fours and things do you see grind out to 42-40 or regional finals? It's Michigan playing Kentucky, it's Louisville running up and down the court against Duke.
I hear this all the time. I hear that Indiana fans like to complain about the fact that we're shooting it quickly and we don't play very good defense because I think they like fundamentals, and I get that. But as you said, it's a scoring
right.
game nowadays. If you can't score, you can't win.
I don't think Indiana fans getting beat by 20 against anybody is going to change that. Right?
But you've seen teams like Butler make it a physical knockdown game
culture.
And have great
culture.
But the point there being is, you know, look, last year they stunk, but that's the anomaly. They've been successful with that style is the thing. So at this point in time, going into Saturday night, who has the edge?
Who has
the defensive
edge?
Team who can't shoot? Or the great shooting team that can't play defensive rebound?
I think the team that has the better...
We're the scoring team. Remember, right. This is a scoring game.
And again, it's two different styles. Edge? Who can oppose their will? I think that's going to be the game. If Indiana can get offensive rebounds and multiple shots, their shooters say that...
Which it doesn't do a lot of.
Their shooters say they should knock down those shots when they're open. But we know when shooters go cold, you have to find other ways to score. And we have not seen that have to happen yet. Is James Blackman Jr. good enough to be shut out in a game? Yeah, anybody's good enough to be shut out in a game.
Sure.
Yogi Ferrell against Grand Canyon with their all-NBA backcourt went 3 of 15, 2 of 7 for 8 points, 3 assists in 26 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen, folks. It can happen really easily.
Yeah.
It can happen. Yogi Ferrell, Indiana 86 points without Yogi. That's a really good sign. Grand Canyon's a really bad team.
Well, yeah.
The point of the matter is, if you can get guys that can contribute and find their roles, you should be able to score more points than Butler. If Butler's defense plays like Butler's defense can, it's good. I think it's a very interesting game. There's no question about it. It's the complete style difference.
It's opposite styles. Yep. It really is.
And it's whoever can be mentally tougher.
Although, again, to say that, I've watched some Butler games, as I told you. I mean, they run a lot of high pick and roll type of stuff.
Which they don't defend at all.
They kick it out to the shooter. I mean, they're doing similar type of stuff on offense.
They are.
They're not running all kinds of, you know, crazy tossing
into the
post.
Indiana's played
stuff.
Enough zone to make your eyes fall out of the back of your head, right?
And aren't very
good
at it.
Well, they're not very good at man-to-man. They're not very good at zone.
No.
So when you have those two problems, Butler's patience. Butler's not going to shoot 33-pointers. That's what they're not going to do. They're going to make the two or three extra passes and get the layup when we fall asleep, like Montrezl Hazel. You couldn't find that guy at eight dunks, right? Why? Indiana played 2-3 zone. Louisville got in the gaps, made some extra passes, and found guys for slam dunks. Butler's system will allow them to do that. Their culture will allow them to be in most games, even when they're not shooting it well. Why? Because they do get after you on defense. They get every loose ball. No one's accusing Indiana of flying all over the place and doing that. And the other thing with Butler is smart defense. They're all over the place. And every guy that comes off that bench knows what the Butler way is. That's their advantage. That's how you beat North Carolina on a neutral court. Eight draft picks to zero draft picks. It's not even close on a talent level.
No, they killed them on the offensive boards. They didn't shoot it well. They just killed them on the offensive boards.
You know why? They worked harder. They don't have as much talent. They worked harder. So can Indiana work to that level? When was the last time Indiana beat Butler?
That's a good question.
Yeah. So, again, so if Indiana's going up there with their chest puffed out and saying, hey, it's just Butler, what's the big deal? Indiana should be ready to go for it because, again, when they were number one in the country, Butler's walk-on Barlow kid, his second game of his life.
All right. With everybody, like you said, with everybody else fouled out.
Howard fouled out. Yeah. All the good players fouled out. And Butler's second team beat Indiana in overtime. Those are facts. Again, they get in the way of most good arguments. The point is, if Indiana shoots it well and are patient, and again, they have to knock down shots and rebound. They can beat anybody, Dave. That's what's going to be the great and the frustration all in this season. There are going to be nights where they hit 16 of 24 threes and bury somebody, and there's going to be nights they hit 2 out of 21 and get buried.
And I say it again, I don't know what IU fans exactly want. Do they want lesser shooting and better defense and rebound, or do they like
the
shooting?
They want a team that has layers like Louisville, Dave. It's not hard.
I guess. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
German-American's financial professionals wish you and your family a happy holiday season. They appreciate your business and appreciate you, the customer. German-American, banking, insurance, investments.
333-2665 is our phone number. Quick programming notes. Of course, we're with you until 7:45 tonight. We turn you over to Westwood One and their pregame coverage for Monday Night Football. Saints at Bears, a pair of 5-8 teams. Saints trying to still win their division, though, at 5-8. So they need this win on the road, and all kinds of crazy shenanigans going on up in Chicago right now. So let's see what happens there. It could be a lot of screaming on the sideline.
Their shenanigans do not involve anything to do with the playoffs, though, so they can scream all they want. No Brandon Marshall. He broke all his ribs and punctured a lung last week. He's done for the year. So it's the Alshon Jeffrey show.
There you go. Too bad I am out of my fantasy football league with him. That'd be awfully nice to have, but I got a feeling they're going to get shut out tonight. Tomorrow night, we've got Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's. It's Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass at 6 o'clock.
Only one of the year, of the last month of the year. That's it, because we're done. No Sports Talk on the 23rd or the 30th, as Joe's going to be taking some time off. And big guest on tomorrow night, the old Oaken Bucket.
The old Oaken Bucket, Fred Glass, and the new IU men's tennis coach, Jeremy Wertzman. He's new, so we don't know his name.
Brand new to town.
We got to make sure.
Played at Ohio State, was the associate head coach at Michigan, so he knows the league. And exciting times with the tennis program.
Ohio State and Michigan, huh?
Yeah, interesting. I
already don't like him.
He played at Ohio State and then was at Denver. doing some undergrad and or some graduate work, and then was the associate head coach at Michigan. Well, you got to get, you know, jobs are jobs, man.
I guess.
How many of those football guys jump around like that? Mark Hagan, you know, Purdue, Indiana, yeah. Purdue, Indiana.
Well, Will Muschamp's a Saban guy. He's been at LSU.
At
he was at Florida. Now he's at Auburn, not at Alabama.
So hold on.
Thursday night, we've got a huge game, by the way. I mean, huge.
You know what,
Don?
Let's be fair.
Game.
Joe and I talked about this morning. That's the first game they had scheduled that stunk. The other 16 games were pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, Kansas. Well,
they're all division games, so except for one, I believe.
Right.
And
Kansas
been some
City,
really
Oakland
good ones.
Was kind of iffy, but 2-12 is 2-12 and 2-12.
Might be the best game you watch all year, I mean, to be honest.
It could be 38-35 this year.
I mean, no, I'm serious.
You talk about knives and gunfights. This is a knife fight.
Yeah. Well, their defense is.
Neither of these teams have any guns.
It's not any good. We'll be back Wednesday, of course, at 6 o'clock. And then Southport's coming back to town on Friday. I kind of wish they'd just go away at this point, but they're coming back to play North. We'll have that game for you here Friday night, 7 o'clock. Chalk Talk, 7:30 is the kickoff for that, and we'll talk about what's going on Saturday and Sunday. There are all kinds of more football here on WGCL. Then we'll get to that in a little while, but before we go too much farther,
let's go back to Saturday briefly, because Saturday is hugely different this week. And why is that? The NFL joins us this Saturday for their only Saturday of the year. How about that? So
right.
That's awesome. So we got Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So doubleheader, fantastic.
Yep, 333-2665 is the phone number. I should clarify the comment I made before the break there. I get frustrated wondering, look, Hoosier fans are fundamental fans. They like good fundamentals. They can break down your shot form.
Don't need any bloggers telling James Blackman how to shoot.
The mechanics.
You guys can save your tweets on that, guys.
No, exactly. They like that kind of thing. They're into blockouts. Brian Sloan is one of their heroes.
Sloan Screen 45.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I'm not. It's what's frustrating to me is, it seems to me that the Hoosier fans. I understand there are deficiencies with this team. They frustrate me. They should frustrate you. However, this team shoots the hell out of the ball, and to me, one of the most fundamental things possible as a basketball player is shooting the ball. Now, guys who can't shoot the ball well should know not to shoot the ball well. Or should know not to shoot the ball, but we got a bunch of shooters out there. And so to me, that's what's fun about watching this team is just how well they can fill it up. And outside of a Troy Williams kind of going nuts down the lane and kind of ducking out of the lane and throwing up against the glass, there aren't too many crazy shots. They go to the basket with the ball. That's what's interesting to me. And I said it before the season. I was very intrigued how they did on the offensive end to make up for their other deficiencies. And so far, we've seen some of that, and we've, of course, seen some of it where it hasn't worked out very well.
You've seen times they do all the hard work to grab the offensive rebound, then just turn around and jack up a three, which sometimes may scratch your head. But a lot of these guys that are doing this, they haven't played college basketball. That's the other thing you have to keep in perspective. Troy Williams, Stanford Robinson, and Yogi Ferrell, the only guys here that have legit minutes in college hoops.
Yeah,
that's getting ready to end, because once you play, what's Indiana, 8-2?
Yeah.
They got Butler, Georgetown, and New Orleans. They got 14 games under their belt before they hit
that's
the Big Ten.
Season.
That's half a season. So that's going to end quickly. So guys like Nick Zeisloff should have the speed of the game figured out. Guys like Colin Hartman, who didn't play any minutes last year.
The four freshmen.
Hannah Perea played zero minutes last year. The freshmen should. They'll see the ultimate speed in Louisville. They'll see the ultimate toughness in Butler. Mm-hmm. They'll see a little combination in Georgetown.
Saw
a little bit of Pitt's been disappointing.
Yeah.
SMU decent to good.
Both good athletic teams.
I like that it finishes Louisville, Grand Canyon, Butler, Georgetown, New Orleans.
You get three out of five,
which at least you get some. You don't play one, then see in 2 weeks for the next one,
or
whatever that was. So the good news is they should be up to speed on all that, because once you hit the league, you should have enough noose, whatever it is. You should have it figured out by now. You can't be looking at each other in February wondering what's a good shot, what's a bad shot. Because if that's the case, you'll be 2-3, you'll be 2-5 in the league.
Well, let me ask you a question. I get that you want to find the best shot. It's this elusive thing that we heard about for years under Bob Knight, because he wanted this team to get it to the right people at the right positions. I get that. This team has a bunch of guys that can put it in the basket from a bunch of different positions.
Yeah.
So
that's
seems
the
to
balance
me,
you have to find out.
I understand. It seems to me like there are a lot of good shots out there.
There are a lot of good opportunities for shots out there.
Well, there's a lot of good shots out there.
There's a lot of opportunities for good shots out there.
They're taking all of those. That's the problem.
What Troy Williams thinks is a good shot when he crosses half court at 97 miles per hour,
right,
and what I think is a good shot is probably a little bit different.
There are some bad shots out there. There are some bad shots, no
question.
But
their athleticism tells them, well, I can make it. It's about getting the right guy to make the tough shot and about you doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
James Blackman Jr., for me, and Yogi, have carte blanche. Here it is. There's a white card. Do whatever you guys, within reason, to do it. James Blackman has scored 36 points in the last two games and is 2 for 18 from the three-point line, or 2 for 14. He's 1 for 5 and 1 for 8 against Louisville. So he's 2 for 13. Mm-hmm. He still found a way to score 38 points.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Fresh. Kids don't have to sit around anymore and do their time and carry the bags and carry the shoes. He's that good. He can do what he wants. Yogi should know the definition now between when to hold him, when to fold him, when to walk away, and when to run. Again, we mentioned 3 of 15 against Grand Canyon, only 3 assists, not one of his best games. You want it on a night where you win by 40. Okay? Get it out of your system. No sweat. Yogi's going to have nights like that. Yogi's a scorer. He's not a shooter. Whoever was doing the Grand Canyon game made a great point. Every time James Blackman shoots it, you think it's going in.
Yeah.
You can't say that with anybody else on the team.
He was pretty good on the air. Crispin, the kid from Penn State.
Penn State, smart kid. And he was a great shooter at Penn State. Great shooter. Lights out three-point shooter at Penn State. He knows what a good-looking jump shot looks like. But his point was excellent. You never feel like James Blackman Jr. is, if he's got half a look with his excellent form and technique.
Oh, yeah, you'll let him take it.
Yogi's more of a scorer. Yogi will get hot and knock down 4 or 5 in a row, so you got to give him a little leeway there.
Let him get into
the rhythm.
He's hot.
You got to get a heat check on him. No big deal. Because he can hit 6, 7, 8 in a row. We've seen that. So don't get mad if Yogi has to pop one up. I don't need Stan coming off the bench and taking a three when he looks at
I don't need
Zeislav. Zeislav makes a bunch of threes in a row and misses a bunch of threes in a row.
Right.
Everybody take a deep breath. That's the better shot. Get around the perimeter. Let Yogi penetrate. Let Stan penetrate. Then get an open three instead of a kind of open three. That's what I think they're talking about in a better shot, because you can shoot it with a hand in your face all day. You can do that.
Right.
Can you be patient enough for two more passes to get a wide open shot or a Troy back cut or a Hanner back cut?
They move the ball well. There are times they come down and take the first good transition three that they see.
That's different.
Right. But that's what you saw a lot of against Grand Canyon.
Right. In transition,
it's different. The 5-second
shot. And we've talked about that, because if you're going to jack up three-pointers in transition, their guys are running towards the basket.
Everybody's moving.
And you're behind them, and you're going to get the long
rebound. But it's clear to me that they have a green light. And I think that one will drive people crazy, because they think you should take 25 seconds off the shot clock first.
The players have to figure out what is transition, what is the secondary break, and what is half-court offense. You don't want one pass and a shot after you've taken the ball
out,
unless you're wide open and ready to go.
Sure.
Because guess what happens when the first pass is? Not everybody's engaged. Right. They should be. They're not. What happens, the ball goes up, you're not in premium offensive rebounding position. Sometimes you don't even rotate back because you didn't think the guy was going to shoot it that quickly. How many times we see that in the Louisville game?
Yeah.
Here I go to the basket, Yogi busts a guy off the basket, nobody rotates back, they're all watching Yogi. Those are things that have to get better. But you can't take away or slow down the only thing that adds pressure from Indiana. And right now, it used to be getting the foul line as well, but the last two games have been a little shaky, not because of the percentages, which aren't good. The attempts should be much better against a team like Grand Canyon, who can guard you.
27, it should be not more bad. Than that.
And you should make more than 18 of them.
The disappointing one, of course, is
you
Louisville.
You can't be a good shooting team only when you're a good shooting team. Good shooting teams are good shooting teams.
Well, this is a good shooting team. I can't look at Grand Canyon as the top-level performance. I can't look at Louisville
We heard last year that this team was not as bad a shooting team as they looked to be. And I told you that's malarkey.
Well, they weren't.
They ended up being the worst three-point shooting team in the league. But all we heard all year long is, no, we're going to go in the gym, we're going to shoot it, we're going to get – no, that doesn't happen is what we try to tell you, and we're right.
Right.
And it happens everywhere. Shaquille O'Neal quit practicing free throws. You know why? Didn't matter.
Yeah.
Can't make them. Can't do it. Can't make them. So why waste your time practicing? Practice your strengths. Don't spend your time on your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Indiana's strength is doing what? Knocking down threes, knocking down shots, scoring the basketball, and putting pressure on the opponent. And I tell you what, Dave, that's the way to do it moving forward, because you can't just stop and say, you know what, boys, we did it this way for 10 games, and now we're going to try it this way.
Fan favorite still has yet to, Tim Priller still has yet to make his first three-pointer of the year.
That's right. I got in Jeremiah April, you get in Tim Priller. That's fine with me. Alternate shot.
We got to take a quick break. When we come back, there's been some great news here in the last, a couple days for IU football, as it is recruiting season for IU football. We'll talk a little bit about that when we get back. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
FC Tucker Bloomington Realtors are the total package, whether you're buying or selling your home, for service beyond the sale. FC Tucker Bloomington Realtors, online, tuckerbloomington.com, or call 336-7300.
333-2665 is our phone number. Mentioned last segment, we talked a little bit about what's going on Saturday, because, of course, we've got
big
NFL football
game
all year on WGCL, and now all of a sudden, not only do we have the IU game, we won't have it here on WGCL, but we will have plenty of NFL here on WGCL this weekend. Are we covering Saturday or
NFL
just Sunday?
NFL doubleheader.
We are.
Eagles-Redskins
okay.
on the 20th, and then followed by San Francisco and San Diego.
That's a big one for San Diego right now.
Huge.
San Francisco's more or less out
Done.
Of the picture.
They are mathematically eliminated from
Eagles
playoff
still have a shot at the division, I believe.
The Eagles
or at least
do.
A wild card.
Well, the Colts will need to beat Dallas on Sunday, and the Eagles will be right back in the NFC race. So Saturday, we missed Saturday football. The new bargaining agreement before the last one knocked it out, so that was like 5 years without having any Saturday football, because it used to be filling those days after the final bowl game or after the conference championship games. You'd have a couple Saturdays there where they give you a nice late afternoon, early, well, after, like the Sunday deal, 4 and 7:45, because those are the best rated games you get. Now it's back, so that's the good news. Once they redid Thursdays and shook that up a little bit, so a doubleheader Saturday, Dave, and a doubleheader on Sunday as well. Two huge games on Sunday. So four massive, massive NFL games.
Let's note the Sunday game for Colts fans. First time in a while and last time, at least for now at least, the Colts-Dallas. That's a 3:30 pregame here on WGCO.
4:25
kick. So it is the late game, late afternoon game, I should say. Colts at Dallas. And then we'll cover Seattle at Arizona. We usually, we do the post game on Bob Lamy before we turn it over. What time
right.
do you think we turn it over?
We will turn it over to Westwood One for their pregame at 7:30, so we'll get
go.
A good so Colts should be done by 7-ish. Usually NFL games take about 3 hours, right?
Yeah,
so
that
4:25,
one, that one could
that's,
take
that's
you up
back,
to it.
That's going to back right up to it.
But
so.
Either way, we'll have
it's
Seattle and Arizona
for,
in the
for first
evening.
Place in the NFC West, so a huge, huge night of football. And we've got it all for you.
There you go. And, of course, we start here tonight, 7:45, up for a pregame at Saints at Bears, coming up here in just a little while. 333-2665. Before we move to the football team, just note real quickly, Tom Lenardi has tweeted out that the first four out of the bracketology includes Indiana.
We were
so,
in?
Yes.
All right.
At December 15th.
We were in.
We are just missing the NCAA tournament.
We were in at one point.
Yeah, rough note there. But a good note for the Hoosiers football team. Of course, earlier this fall, last several weeks, they lost in-state quarterback commit Tommy Stevens. He decommitted and committed to Penn State. Well, today the Hoosiers got a quarterback in their class. Tyler Green is a 3-star prospect out of Maryland. And I'm sorry, that's not the gentleman I'm looking at. There we go. It's Austin King, a 3-star quarterback out of Georgia. That's the guy. He had been committed to NC State, but decommitted and took the offer to Indiana. He had an offer from West Virginia, Central Florida, South Florida, and several other Sun Belt and MAC-type teams. But a good-looking prospect here, and they needed a quarterback, 6'2", 192. Had to have a quarterback in this class, maybe even add a second. They've added a gentleman who played quarterback much of this year for the Carmel Bulldogs. And
Carmel Bulldogs?
Bulldogs, Greyhounds, whatever you guys are.
How dare you?
I don't care. You do, I don't. But he's a 5'11", 108-pound, 80-pound sprinter, and probably will be a slot receiver for the Hoosiers, Isaac James. is his name, and he's one of the stars this year in Indiana high school football, but he committed over the weekend to Indiana. And look, Glass, I know you can't talk about the names themselves,
right?
But I'm interested, though. Hoosier fans do seem to like to get in-state basketball recruits, but do you think they care at all about in-state football recruits, or care much, I should say?
Yeah, if they're the backbone of the team that takes you back to the bowl game, yeah, I think it's going to be important, because right now you got guys like Chase Dutra from Brownsburg, Darius Latham from North Central. You've got on the offensive side,
you got Allen at the safety.
You've got Antonio Allen from Ben Davis. So you do have some local guys making an effect. I mean, D'Angelo Roberts helped you out last year as a local kid. Yeah, your wide receiver corps. You got the offensive lineman from Avon. So there's, I think you need to have that pipeline open. And when you can see the progress of the kids that have played, Latham, Allen, Dutra, maybe guys that got out, besides Latham, those guys, injury problems, fought your way back in the lineup. Dutra, he redshirted last year, right? Ended up playing a ton.
Yep.
Shows if you can play your way into it, you can play some pretty big-time football around here. All those freshman wide receiver guys, plenty of chances, plenty of touches. That job is wide open going into next year. I think the negative side of it was, I think the selling point for the coaching staff was, did you see us play this year?
Right, exactly.
We need help now to catch the football. And if you can catch the football and figure this offense out,
come on in.
Well, you have a chance to compete.
That's right.
We're not promising anything, but you got a chance to compete. And I think if you keep those relationships good, you know, you heard all the stories about one football coach here that went up, talked to the coaches association, says, "Here's you guys, here's where we are."
Right.
And the bridges were burned for a long time. You don't want to do that, because there are kids in Indy that can play football. You shouldn't just give up and say, "Well, all those kids are going to Purdue, all those kids are going to Michigan, all those kids are going to Notre Dame." Right. Ohio State's come by and cherry picked a few, and you've had some other big schools cherry pick a few. Penn State cherry picks a few. So, yeah, if you've got kids here that can play, Indiana fans want to win. And if you can win with Indiana kids, football is a little different, Dave, because it's harder for them to make an impact. Basketball is a little bit easier.
Right.
But in football, if you can do it with kids around here, how does that hurt your recruiting in the future is my point. It doesn't.
So Isaac James, again, the playmaker for Carmel. You can call him whatever you
Isaac
want.
Isaac
Hames. You can call him whatever you want. He's a kid out of Indiana, and of course, as I mentioned, the quarterback recruit also got a kid who is a commitment to Ohio State, and that always raises some eyebrows. Tyler Green is a 6'2", 190-pound safety.
There's another
out of
kid
DeMatha.
We have that redshirted this year, correct? That was an Ohio State commitment.
Well, yeah,
one time?
Kid out of Indy that had gotten in trouble and didn't get much of a leash at Ohio State. Tim Gardner had to sit out this year, as I say.
Some of those free tattoos.
Yeah, it's something. It takes something to get kicked out of Ohio State, I guess. I don't know. Probably just.
And
not,
then there's another.
Not
big,
having played.
Was
yet.
There a big lineman as well that Indiana was looking at here? Recently?
Yes. Let's see what his name is. His name is Devondre Love, a kid out of St. Louis, 6'7", 290.
Nice frame.
Yes, had an offer from Syracuse, San Diego State, and some interest from area teams: Missouri, Illinois, Iowa. So maybe an under the radar kid right now, and then also a athlete out of Virginia, Mike Majette, who had interest from Purdue, Louisville, Boston College, Marshall, and some other lower-level teams. But a good weekend overall. It's a big recruiting time, real big recruiting time right now for IU football.
Now, does that continue until the Christmas season, or is that you take a break for the holidays?
You usually get the holidays.
Don't they force you to take a break?
You have to, yeah. It's a week to 10 days type of thing where you're pretty much not allowed much in the way of contact.
Yeah, so they had a bunch of them in last weekend.
Exactly. These first couple weekends of December are always big recruiting weekends, and I know they had a big one this weekend. I think they're going to have another one upcoming.
Another reason why you want to schedule a big basketball schedule.
Well, it'd be nice if that was a home game too, because they usually try to take them over there. It'd be really nice if they had bowl practices that they can come watch also.
Well, I think that's another part of the selling point.
Yeah.
And you got to have kids that make a difference. And the issue was going into this week, and there's only 10 recruits, and you can how many sign? 25?
Yeah.
So up to 25, basically, so there's a little bit of itching and scratching. When does the period end? When is the official signing time where I can talk about these guys?
Right. Well, you've got until February.
Okay.
The first, it's usually the first Wednesday in February.
So we're not at last call yet.
Not at all. Not at all. So the first weekend in February, and they'll be working hard in January. I mean, what this staff has done is it's taken, I won't say fewer early guys, but it has looked to the late recruits and tried to sign some guys late in the entire thing and fight some teams off. Now, it hasn't always been successful, but they have gotten some guys out of that. So,
and it is a dirty business.
It's nasty.
Well, the kid came.
But you got to show. I mean, at this point in time, during this part of the season, you got to start getting some commitments. I mean, you have to. Now is the time. These are the biggest recruiting weekends right now.
Why is a kid holding out till February, whatever? He wants to be winding down and do all that stuff.
He can. He's got his choice. Maybe he doesn't know, but maybe he wants to hear from all the big guys.
So with 10 offers still out there, is that a number you think can be easily hit?
I have to look back at it. They don't have a lot of kids graduating from this team.
26 seniors, but what does that mean? That's a whole other
story. Well, if they had 26 guys go out at senior day, then they're going to have a pretty good class that they can bring in. I think that's the key there. But we'll see. I'd have to look at the numbers to see what they'll take. Most schools are going to try to take at least that 25 or real close. Haven't heard of anybody who's coming in early yet. We'll see. There's some JC kids they're looking at. They did get the wide receiver from UAB, who was a Florida recruit at one point in time also. So, again, it's been a good week for Indiana football off the field. We got to take a quick break. Back in a few minutes here, and we'll do Inside the Red Zone. Dave and Glass with you. All right, you're back in the Red Zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you as we head up until the 7:45 time frame, where we kick it over to Westwood One and their pregame for Monday Night Football. Tonight's game, Saints at Bears. Saints have a chance still at their division right now. They are just a half a game behind Carolina. The Saints are 5-8. Carolina's 5-8-1. And yes, that's ugly as far as somebody winning and getting into the playoffs, but it's going to happen. Somebody's going to be below 500 or real close to it over there and get into the playoffs as a division winner. And it might just be the Saints if they can knock off the 5-8 Bears, who really don't have any chance at a division right now, as Detroit and Green Bay are both 10-4. After
Bears
this weekend.
Bears are eliminated. Yeah, there is no more.
They're pretty much out and fighting, as you might expect at this hour. So we'll see if Drew Brees can go on the road and do what he doesn't normally do, and that's win on the road, and do it at a Chicago team that might be giving up. We'll see what happens tonight. Again, 7:45 is pregame for that. We've got another NFL weekend in the books otherwise, and we'll start up in Indianapolis as the Colts clinched the division once again with a 17-10 victory over the Texans. Not exactly a thing of beauty, as the Colts gave up 289 yards on defense, which is not a lot, but they only had 278 of their own. Good defense in Houston, but they ended up getting Ryan Fitzpatrick out of the game as he was injured, and Tom Savage had to come in and play most of the game and managed to settle in pretty well as far as a guy who's never played in the NFL before, I don't believe. 10-19, 127 yards, no touchdowns, but he did have an interception. It's not a great rating.
Killed the game. Vontae Davis made the play to end it.
Yeah, but for a guy who's never played in the league, this is what worries you a little bit about the Colts, is that up and down to the competition, but not always up to the best competition they play, and that's probably going to be what you see in the playoffs.
21 points at halftime. The Colts accounted for all three of them. Andrew Luck threw three touchdown passes, two to his team and one to Houston. So
Hakeem Nicks sighting this weekend.
He had a great game. It'd be nice to have that extra weapon. Dante Moncrief has all of a sudden gone quiet after his big game a few weeks ago. But the Colts did this last week against Cleveland. They haven't played well. They've been digging themselves holes that has been created by their quarterback. So we'll knock him for not doing for giving the ball away again. It's starting to get habitual for him, and you don't like that, but you have to give the guy credit because he does dig himself out of these problems, and that's what he consistently does. And again, he's got 38 touchdown passes and 4,400 yards. He had his worst game of the year yesterday. He had two touchdowns, one interception, 187 yards passing. So worst game of the year. It's the number one offense in the league, and they can't it's number one passing offense in the league, excuse me, and they can't run the ball. So you know the pass is coming. You still can't stop them because Trent Richardson and Daniel Herron, they get you every now and again.
Well, and that's just it. They spread it around. They've got a lot of guys that they throw the ball
to. Hard to guard.
You can't guard just T.Y. Hilton and say we're going to take him away and that's it, because everybody else is going to get the ball.
As bad as it was in the first quarter, it was that good in the second quarter. I think he threw all of his yards passing essentially in the second quarter as the Colts went up and down the field and scored. And Hakeem Nicks, as you mentioned, caught a play. But the Pacers have this – or the Pacers. I have the Pacers on the background. The Colts have this one thing in their DNA that you have to like, and it's winning.
Yeah.
They have no offensive line. They win. They got guys hurt in the defensive secondary. They win. They got guys hurt. Reggie Wayne's dropping balls, leading to interceptions, to fumbles, to everything else. They're winning. In spite of all of that, they are finding ways to win. It's the 14th time in 16 years they've had 10 or more wins. It's back-to-back division titles. This team, the first year, which would have been 3 years ago now,
right,
they have a coach. I keep going back to this. People don't understand. This wasn't a veteran group that had been bedded in. This was not San Antonio when David Robinson got hurt and Tim Duncan was the number one pick.
It was a two-win team when Peyton Manning went out.
A train wreck two-win team. This team, how many Grigson brought in? 36 of the 55-man roster was new. And then their coach gets leukemia.
Right.
And they still win double-digit games in a quarterback's rookie year. This team has guts. They have found a way to win. They don't care if it's pretty. I think that's the cool part. It's not about style points. It's not about stuff in the stat sheet. It's about results. And it all starts with number 12. He's not the flashiest guy. He can't keep his beard trimmed. He likes taking hits. He likes delivering hits. He's loose with the football. He's great with the football. They go as he goes. And all that's been right now has been smooth sailing. They're very far from perfect, Dave. They're not going to win the Super Bowl, but they're impossible not to like.
Well, here's the thing. The biggest change of all has been Andrew Luck, and any question about that needs to be erased. He keeps the opposition in some games that maybe they shouldn't because he makes some bad decisions and gives up the ball. There's no question.
He's just testing his defense.
He's got 25 turnovers, and if I remember correctly, I can't remember the state. It might have been Geno Smith has 26 turnovers this year. So, you know, those
he has the most turnovers in the league since Eli Manning.
The company you want to keep, but 38 touchdown passes and 4,500 yards on the year with two games left to go is the area you like to see. Look, he is first and foremost the reason they're winning these games because of the work that he does, because of how smart he is, because of his reaction, because of his physicality, because of his arm, because of his vision. You name it, it's all because of him. I've said this before, their offensive line stinks. They're getting beat up inside. They can't run the ball inside. I don't care who
they're
it is inside.
Play.
It's a different interior offensive line every time they go out there.
So whoever's alive
gets a start. They've got good skill players, but this is all because of everything that Andrew Luck can do. In the meantime, he makes some mistakes that keeps teams in it that maybe they can't. But you have to marvel at the fact that, as you said, they've won double-digit games each of the last 3 years in his time in the NFL.
He throws a pick six, the next two possessions, they go down and score two touchdowns.
And it's not a great team, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's not a great team. It's a marginally better on defense this year, and partly that is because of all the looks they're throwing out there on defense. But it's still not a shutdown defense. It's been a shutdown defense against bad offenses. But against good offenses, they've either been pushed around or they've been thrown all over. Either way, I mean, you name it, they'll do that also. It's what's weird about it is you have to like the fact that, as you said, they find a way to win, even sometimes when they're not playing their best. But the problem I have is I'm not sure what their best is. We saw a little bit of that earlier this year, and I really liked it when I saw it. But was it somewhat opponents? Was it a hot streak? It sure appears to be just a little bit of a hot streak. The problem, of course, is ultimately you got to get to the playoffs and win playoff games and go somewhere with it somewhere.
Well,
in the meantime, until we figure out what this team does really well week in and week out, the chameleon thing is hard to keep.
They win.
And I don't think they're trying to be chameleons. They have to be chameleons because they're not good enough at some of the things they do.
They lost the first two games of the year, one controversially to Denver on a penalty wasn't called, one even more controversially on a non-penalty called against Philly. They're 10-2 after that. They lost at Pittsburgh, and they lost at home to New England. If you'd have told me that before the season started, that they would be 10-2 in that stretch, and those were their two losses, I'd say, wow, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good run of football.
Absolutely.
So that's how you have to look at it right now. You can't. It always wants to be better, sure. But again, they were not destroyed by Denver in week one when Peyton Manning was healthy.
No, they were competitive in
those
games.
They were completely jobbed against Philadelphia in a holding penalty. The guy's jersey's ripped from me to you,
yes,
and he doesn't call it. That game is salted away and done. But again, they're not scoring points. That's the only thing that bothers you a little bit. The comeback against Cleveland was awesome. They only had 23 points against Jacksonville, 17 against Houston. But again, it was 42, 49, and 25. The other, so in the stretch of games here, They're scoring a ton of points. They're finding ways to get yards. And every time that Andrew Luck gets another chance with the football, you don't feel there's any defense in the league that can slow him down.
Well, here's the thing. In this, you mentioned 10-2. It's a great stat. 10-2 since the first two games. And those are probably the two best teams they played other than the Patriots over those first two games. They lost to Pittsburgh and got their doors blown off. They lost to the Patriots in Indy and got their doors blown off. But in that 10-2 stretch, there was only really a couple teams that you go into it that have what we have here in Indianapolis and Bloomington. Is Andrew Luck is a great quarterback. Not many of those
Baltimore.
Are. And two of them we beat, and two of them we
Cincinnati.
Lost to. Yeah, Cincinnati. Andy Dalton's better than most of the quarterbacks in this league. And Eli.
He's won two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs.
Yeah, but he stinks just as bad as anybody a lot of weeks also. You got Ben Roethlisberger, and you got Tom Brady. You lost to those two.
Right.
You beat Flacco and Dalton
and Eli.
I'll
throw Eli in there.
But again, you got Tennessee in here.
Right.
You got Jacksonville in here. You got Baltimore. You got Washington. You got Cleveland. You got Houston twice.
We told you in August the Colts had the easiest schedule before the season started, and that's the bully for them. That's what you get. Your division stinks. What have they done in their division? They haven't stubbed their toe. They've done exactly what they've needed to do. They were 5-0 in the division. Perfect. Yes, that's half their wins. I get it. But when you finish first in your division, remember, you play the first place teams from other divisions as well.
Sure.
And again, yes, they lost to Denver. Yes, they lost to Philly. Some circumstances in the Philly game that you could call that either way. They've won the division. They've won themselves a home playoff game. And they have the tiebreaker over Cincinnati for the 4 seed right now. So they will play, quote unquote, the worst team if the playoffs started today that would make the playoffs. And that's not a bad position to be in. The only position better is the bye. But since you lost to New England, since you lost to Denver, those teams have to lose out. You have to win out because you cannot be tied with them.
And they've got a tough game,
that's
of course,
pretty good spot.
Coming up this weekend against Dallas.
No offensive line, no Ahmad Bradshaw, 50% Reggie Wayne.
Right.
T.Y. Hilton's got a hamstring tweak right now. The defense, who had guys in and out, Arthur Jones hasn't played half the year. Corey Redding's in and out of the lineup.
Right.
You've got problems in the secondary. LaRon Landry was suspended. Robert Mathis out for the year. They keep finding ways to win. It's unbelievable.
I like what they've done with the defense. It's just not great. It's not.
It's serviceable. All you need.
They have done a great job. What they've done is they've played a lot of different players this year. And they've done it in a lot of different looks and thrown a lot of different blitzes from a lot of different players and places. And in the first couple of years, they didn't do a lot of that.
You know,
they really didn't. They didn't do all the zone blitzing crazy stuff on a regular basis. This year, they're putting all kinds of looks out there and all kinds of packages. I mean, Jonathan Newsom is a 240-pound defensive end in the NFL. And he's running circles around people out there. Yeah, I mean, he looks great when he's out there.
Same.
So you're playing three safeties and four corners. They're throwing everything out there.
You can do that when you have a guy like Vontae Davis that locks down half your field.
Absolutely.
That's
Greg Toler, and they've been healthy for the most part.
And that's a huge key. The other part with the Colts, remember, Houston and J.J. Watt, they wouldn't shut up about J.J. Watt yesterday. Two sacks and a pass defended in about 3 minutes. The other 57 minutes, he did absolutely nothing. 25-ranked defense rushing, 15th-ranked passing. Mm-hmm. The Colts, 19th and 15th, they got better defense than Houston does.
Those
are facts, whether they like them or not.
And they couldn't move the ball real well on them. They did a great job with J.J. Watt. I mean, there's no question.
He had a great 3-minute spurt, and that was
it. They purposely double-teamed him a lot of the game.
And
by the way, that was really smart.
Why would
you? You might want to do more of that. He's still got two sacks.
This talk is MVP is ridiculous. You're on a defense that's not even in the top 15 in the league. Go away. He's a great player. He's not MVP.
The things he's done for that team are MVP worthy. That team
of
is not
team.
MVP
He's the MVP
worthy.
Of his team,
yes.
Not
well,
the league.
Yes,
not the league.
I would take him tomorrow.
You would.
I would take him yesterday.
You'd take Andrew Luck before
I would take him.
Him
3 years ago. I'd take him anytime. 333-2665 is our phone number. We'll look forward to Dallas when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Quick programming note. Again, we've got Monday Night Football coming up here in just a little while. 7:45, we will transfer you over to Westwood One's pregame for the Saints at the Bears. Big game for the Saints. Perhaps a train wreck game for the Bears, and that's always fun to watch. We'll have more NFL football. It's a big week for NFL football here on WGCL. Perhaps the most entertaining 6-3 game possible this Thursday night will be Tennessee at Jacksonville. Both teams 2-12, fighting it out for a draft pick. Saturday, we've got NFL football, 4 o'clock, Eagles at Redskins, and 7:45, San Diego at San Francisco. So we've got the double hitter there. And then Sunday, we've got Colts at Dallas. Pregame starts there at 3:30. It is the afternoon game. And then we'll take you to Seattle at Arizona after that. Of course, this Friday night, high school basketball, Southport at North. So you'll want to catch all of that. We'll be back, of course, Wednesday, 6 o'clock. 333-2665, again, is our phone number. Colts, 17-10 victors against Houston, clinches the South Division for the Indianapolis Colts.
Second one in a row.
Third straight double-digit win season for Andrew Luck, who gave the only touchdown of the game to the Houston Texans. But he's been doing a little bit too much of that kind of thing recently. But here's the thing. He's good enough to make up for it on the other side. At Dallas is the question, can you do that down there at Dallas? This is not the last few years Dallas team where they're making tons of mistakes and shooting themselves in the foot all left, right, up and down. They have some stinker games, but this is a team that's about ready to win their division, too.
Well, they have an opportunity to win their division. That's absolutely true. Dallas is unbeaten on the road, the only team in the NFL that can claim that. So that means they have 4 losses at home.
Yeah, 3-4.
Interesting that. And it's been strange because the Dallas bandwagon is slow to fill up. If you saw some of those early national TV games, there was more 49er fans and Cowboy fans there. So bizarre to say the least, but here's why Dallas is good. I saw this stat and I wrote it down. I had to because it was too good. Tony Romo became the first player in NFL history with 4 straight road games of 3 passing TDs and no picks. 4 straight. Well, that's why you're unbeaten on the road. Yeah. You don't shoot yourself in the foot. And Romo had back problems. If you remember, Philadelphia mopped his team up on Thanksgiving Day. It wasn't close. They ran for 250 yards or whatever it was, did the Eagles. And we watched that game together. There wasn't anything to watch after the second quarter.
He got clubbed in the back by a knee.
It's yes, he did on a couple of sacks, and but he's fine. He's up and going, and it's translated on the road. And the Cowboys needed to win last night because of how the tiebreakers worked out at the time. Philadelphia, if they won last night, had their own whatever. You can't have your own destiny in your hands because destiny is predetermined, and you can't really do anything about it. But they
let's
had
not their, get philosophical.
They got their they had their way in front of them. So Dallas wins a big game. If you remember, Dallas has been 8-8 the last 3 years. They've lost the Sunday night game the last 3 years. That would put them in the playoffs. They've lost it. Mm-hmm. So Romo does get some shtick. He should. He's never won a playoff game. That's accurate as well, I believe.
I believe that's
so
correct.
Let's not roll out the red carpet just yet. What Dallas usually does is pound you with the football. DeMarco Murray had surgery on his left hand this afternoon. Mm-hmm. His fourth metacarpal is broken. It doesn't look like he will play on the weekend. I don't like that because I want the Colts to have a full focus in front of him because the last thing you need is a Tashard Choice light for going for 165 on you.
Hey, when you're running like that, it's got something to do with the offensive line.
It does.
As I told you, they've got stability up there finally, too.
They do, and but without that option, let's be fair, Murray's leading the league in rushing by about 16 football fields right now.
He's not even close.
Now does Romo try to do too many things? Interesting. Colts are playing for something. So is Dallas. So this isn't going to be one of those games, Dave, where, hey, we got 10 wins. We'll just take it easy. The Colts want to hang on to the third seed for sure.
Yeah.
They have a chance. Peyton Manning's got some injury problems. If Denver stubs their toe the last two games in, they can jump Denver if they win one of their two, whatever it works out, if they finish one game better than Denver over the last two games, they can take the two seed. It is not impossible. Math is still involved. That can happen. So there is plenty to play for, and Dallas, the Colts go to Tennessee to wrap things up in the last part of the season. That might be the game, Dave, where if it's in the bag and taken care of, they've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, look, this is a game, as you mentioned. The Colts certainly should want this.
Dallas gives up a ton of points.
And if you look, and again, if you project this, and look, I know that the players and the coaches don't like to do a lot of this, but we can certainly do this. You're looking at, in that first round game, if you've got the three seed, you might have both teams coming out of the North, and I certainly hope so, because you're 2-1 against these three teams, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. I'd like to keep them in them. The teams that scare me a little bit are teams like San Diego, teams like Kansas City. Buffalo is an awfully good defense. I know they're not exciting on offense, but defensively, the last two games, they have nearly shut down the offenses of Denver and Green Bay.
They did. No touchdown passes from Rodgers or Manning.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, Jerry Hughes is playing defense on that team, if that scares you at all.
Mario Williams has a little bit. Buffalo leads the league in sacks. That's what you need to know. They got a really nice pass rush.
And even though they're all quarterbacks in that AFC North that are pretty decent and have some some cachet behind them, I'd still rather keep those teams around because you've done well against them. bring one of them to home here, whether it's Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Let's take another shot at Pittsburgh. I'd like to stay in that regards rather than having to go on the maybe to a New England in the second round game also, because Denver right now is slow. That offense is slowing down a bit.
Manning's been hurt for weeks.
Partly purposely, but this is a Colts team that's been getting pressure on people, and their offensive line in Denver is breaking down a little bit.
Kansas City's at Pittsburgh this weekend, so somebody's going to get knocked out of that game, because both those teams have a very similar record, if not similar.
8-6 for Kansas City, and
9-5. So who do you root for there? Do you want Kansas City again? I think after coming back from 28 points against them at home last year, you don't want to try that again. Buffalo is at Oakland. That should be a win. What does that move Buffalo to?
9-6.
New England's at the Jets. The Jets always play New England well. Don't forget about that. Why is that important? Because if New England drops that game, it's New England-Buffalo week 17 in Foxborough. And you just told me about Buffalo's defense. They get to the pass rush. They get a great pass rush. And Manning and Rodgers, no touchdown passes last 2 weeks. Yeah. That's big.
It'd be interesting to see that against a physical team like the Patriots.
The Colts will be rooting for them. Baltimore is at Houston. Houston has no quarterback, so you would think Baltimore's in the driving seat there to be 10-5.
Denver's at Cincinnati and Oakland, so they still have an outside shot here at that number one seed.
Oakland will play for everything because they know they're probably going to have a new coach. I don't think Tony Sperano's going to be
at Denver, Cincinnati, and then Oakland.
But in the league where you play for pay, Dave, these guys, Oakland's been so bad, though, you can't rely on them at all. The best thing for Colts fans right now would be Jets pulling a shocker and then Buffalo go into Foxborough. It's not very likely to happen, but as we mentioned, there is math available here, and that means the Colts have to win in Dallas and have to win at Tennessee. The last week of the season, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. It's an elimination game in that division. Baltimore that week hosts Cleveland. It's a division game. Again, all these games on the final week are division games.
It'll be the Johnny
San
Manziel
Diego at Kansas City again. Final game. St. Louis at Seattle. Where's Arizona? At San Francisco. San Francisco should be mailing it in Jim Harbaugh's final game. So plenty of intrigue. But on the AFC side of things, the Colts, where they're at, losing to Denver and losing to New England means they don't have the tiebreaker. So what they are, they're at the mercy of everything else. But if the Colts win, Dave, 12-4, you just take your hat off and say, hey, that's some season. Starts in Dallas on Sunday afternoon.
Well, Dallas, again, has been a up and down team a little bit, but a lot better than I think a lot of people have thought, and certainly better than, more consistent at least, than they've been in a lot of years. They did lose at home, as you mentioned, to San Francisco, Washington.
They gave up too many points.
They lost at home to Arizona and Philadelphia. There's nothing wrong with that, especially when you turn around and go back to Philadelphia and beat them there. They've won in Seattle. That was before maybe Seattle was healthy, but that's still a heck of a win.
The Dallas and the Eagles have some weird thing going where the Eagles have won 6 of the last 7 in Dallas, and Dallas has won 6 of the last 7 in Philly. So if they would just do it according to Hoyle, it would be a lot easier for everybody. The problem with Dallas is they give up a ton of points, it seems like. Every week you look up, they're giving up something. And the bad teams. Chicago gets 28 on them, Philadelphia. Here's the problem with that. Here's Dallas in a nutshell. They're up 21-0 last night, and then they're trailing 24-21.
And they got to come from behind.
And now you don't have DeMarco Murray for a week against that. So, again, it's interesting. But you look at it, it just seems like it's points, 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 points. It's not a shutdown defense. But why Dallas is better this year is they finally have some balance running the ball and passing the ball. It used to be easy to defend. You pin your ears back. You go get Romo. Make him throw across his body, make him throw on the run, and you get free turnovers out of the whole thing. That hasn't been the case. The line's been better. Running game's been better. That's why Dallas is good.
DeMarco Murray is arguably the MVP of the league this year. As you mentioned, may or may not play this weekend. We don't know. He's got a broken hand. They're talking about him maybe playing, which would be incredible.
I heard some talk radio today that said Emmett Smith has happened to him. He missed one game because I think you got to let whatever in there set.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he wants to hold the ball with one hand.
Well, he's got a history of fumbling.
Well, and that's,
he's been better this year, but he still has 5 lost fumbles.
He's only got one hand, and guess what everybody knows? Your hand's broken.
Exactly right. They probably want him for the playoffs anyways. But again, it's that line that does a lot of that too, so let's not forget about that. But it'll be a heck of a challenge for the Colts on Sunday. We got to head on out of here for a break. Back in just a couple minutes. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. About 10 minutes away here, we'll take you over to Westwood One and pregame for Saints at Bears. And again, Saints right now a half game behind Carolina in the division lead. It is a 5-8 record that puts them there, but it's still a division. They can still win it, and they can still go to the playoffs.
Those are the rules.
Host a game.
If you don't like them, write your NFL commissioner.
You might have to do that.
And Atlanta's not out of it either. They only are one game back at 5-9. So get out your shovel, get out your tape measure, and figure out who's going to win the South. It stinks.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. As you mentioned, somebody has got to win this division.
Yep.
And Cam Newton got in a car wreck and didn't play this weekend. They still managed to pull out a win.
Derek Anderson dusted him out of mothballs, and they found a way to beat a bat. Now, to be fair, they're playing 2-11 Tampa. So that was home. That's the way to do it.
You've got three teams here in this race. 5-8-1 Carolina, 5-8 New Orleans, and 5-9 Atlanta.
Atlanta lost home
to
Pittsburgh.
Two quarterbacks and a guy who just got in a car wreck. We'll see if he is able to play anymore.
One's a Super Bowl winner. One's almost been to a Super Bowl. And
Atlanta has a 4-0 record in the division, which I believe would be one
every
of the
tiebreaker.
First tiebreakers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're in great spot if they can at least get – well, they can't get into a tiebreaker because Carolina's 5-8-1. They could with New Orleans. It's got to be Drew Brees. I mean, doesn't Drew Brees have to win this division right now with Cam Newton out and Carolina and Derek Anderson
you
playing?
You can count all –
and with Atlanta stinking the way they are, it's got to be Drew
you
Brees.
You can count all the big games Drew Brees has won outside on grass.
I understand that, but
– no fingers.
But it's Drew Brees.
Yep.
And, you know, you can say he doesn't win a lot of big games. I'd say he wins some big games, including a Super Bowl.
Not at – well,
but,
again, that's two – yeah.
Yeah.
Different
but,
animals.
You know, all he has to do here – all he has to do. All he has to do here is win two games.
Hank Baskin.
Three games.
There's a Super Bowl,
don't
Drew.
Now you're making me
the
angry.
The fun part will be the NFC North, as Green Bay and Detroit will play on the final day of the season. Detroit, 4-0 in division play. Will they beat Green Bay earlier in the year? That's when Rodgers told everybody to chill out. He wasn't exactly wrong. But that game will have huge impetus, and we'll talk about that stuff a little bit next week as well. But the fun thing is, only four divisions are clinched. No, that's not right. Three divisions are clinched. New England, Denver, and the Colts. That's it. Arizona has clinched a playoff spot,
Arizona, yeah,
but
right.
They have not clinched a division because they still have to play Seattle.
Correct.
So there's plenty of combinations and permutations that are still out on the table, and that's exactly what the NFL wants. They want this to come down to the last week of the season.
That's why there's a lot of division games late.
They are. All the division games are the last 2 weeks. You play half your division, the final 2 weeks. You got one or the or if it
a little
works,
bit, yeah.
The last week is definitely.
Yeah.
So a lot of them come down to that final, wherever the schedule gets matted out like that. So it makes it interesting. It makes it fun. And if you think you got the NFL figured out, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers were going to win the Super Bowl yesterday because every game was going to be in Lambeau Field. They wouldn't have to leave. And then they couldn't beat Buffalo. And now they're going to have to go on the road if things don't work out right. So if you think you got this all figured out, if you want to write it down in permanent marker, help yourself. But you're going to be tearing up your page and starting over. And that's exactly how the NFL wants it. Who has the best record in the NFL? Three teams are tied. And if one of them is the Arizona Cardinals, you win. That's another unbelievable story.
They're going to start their third quarterback this coming weekend against Seattle. A little bit different defensive pressure from Seattle right now.
Exactly.
And it was
right.
Earlier in the season, and Ryan Lindley will find out about that quickly. But again, Bruce Arians and that group is just doing it all right. I mean, they're finding a way no matter what.
And they find a way with guys that don't – Drew Stanton was their backup quarterback. Then they put another guy in that no one's ever heard of before, and he's, again, not killing them. It's just – it's bizarre how that – it's a system, Dave, and their system works there, and their defense is pretty good as well.
Their defense is really good. They and Seattle are two of the better defenses, scoring defenses. And here's the one that gets, I think, forgotten by a lot of people because they look at the big shiny playmakers on one side of the ball, but the Detroit defense is the best scoring defense in the NFL, if I'm seeing this correctly right now. And I don't know that a lot of people would tell you that right off the bat. But, again, you play some defense, you keep yourself in some games around here.
How about Jim Caldwell, another Colts former head coach?
Yeah,
get some publicity there. Detroit used to be an undisciplined mess underneath that. What was that guy's name, Schwartz?
Yeah,
terrible,
Schwartz.
Awful. I mean, they kill themselves. They have 40 penalties a game and 100 turnovers. And now you tell me their defense is good, and I know the penalties are way down, and that's why they're 10-4. This is the latest in the season they've ever had 10 wins, so that's in recent times. So exciting times for the Lions. So that'll be, again, a huge game with Green Bay. Green Bay could be out of the playoffs, folks. They could be knocked out.
Yeah.
You wouldn't notice that if you listened to ESPN or any national radio because everybody's talking about how the road would go through there. Well, you got to play them all.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, that's what makes the NFL. There is nothing each week where you say, well, that's a meaningless game. Even bad teams are playing for draft picks, coaches' lives.
Tell you what, though, it's not like 20 years ago when you knew San Francisco and Dallas were going to lose maybe two or three games a year and beat all the teams they should. Everybody can lose to anybody, and that's the crazy thing. And there's some bad quarterbacks in this league right now, and even those teams that have them, some of them are winning games. Again, Arizona tied for the best record. Drew Stanton's not the guy they want. I guarantee Ryan Lindley's not the guy they want.
What do you do?
They'll figure it out. Yeah, they'll figure it out.
What do you do? Well, you hope your defense plays well and you get after it.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Stay tuned. Pre-game for Monday Night Football coming up here in just a couple minutes. We'll be back Wednesday, 6 o'clock, so tune in then also, folks. You've been in the zone.